Here's your pass to the Globe Theater. This is the Globe Theater, the radio playhouse especially for men and women of the armed forces of the United Nations. Just as the Globe Theater has meant the best in entertainment since the days of Shakespeare, today it means the best in radio drama for servicemen and women all over the globe. Here to tell you about tonight's play is your host at the Globe Theater, Herbert Marshall.
Hello, everybody. A shipboard romance and a fast shuffle of the cards provide the setting for our play tonight. It's The Lady Eve, starring Ralph Bellamy, Betty Field, and Guy Kibbee. I think you'll find it quite amusing. Although our programs usually originate in Hollywood, tonight we're in New York. Harold Lloyd, the producer of tonight's adaptation of The Lady Eve, has his own story on assembling a New York cast for this broadcast, so I'll let him tell you all about it. Here he is, Harold Lloyd.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can't tell you how happy I am to be here. This week, we're broadcasting from New York. And, of course, the big city is just the place for everything to happen. Especially to a country boy with horn-rimmed glasses like myself. For instance, the other morning, there I was waiting in line in a certain store, clamoring for a certain commodity. Suddenly, I felt someone pushing me.
Come on, Bob, I'm in a hurry.
Now, wait a minute. Well, if it isn't Ralph Bellamy...
Harold Lloyd, what are you doing in New York?
You'd make the perfect hero, Charlie Pike. Ralph, you're my man.
Pardon me, gentlemen, I'm in a hurry and...
Sorry, ladies first everywhere but on a cigarette line. Well, Betty Field.
Betty, just the person I've been looking for.
Why, Ralph, this is so sudden.
You're going to play opposite me in The Lady Eve on Sunday night.
Now, wait a minute. Who's producing this show?
Why, Harold, don't you want me to play The Lady Eve?
Of course I do, but I didn't want Bellamy to beat me to it. It's yours, Betty.
Out of my way, please, out of my way.
Now, look, mister, we're all... Well, Guy Kibbee.
Thank you.
And just the person for the part of Colonel Harrington in our play. Rehearsal time, 1:30 Sunday. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, that's how we got around to casting tonight's show. And now, for our play, The Lady Eve. Just what do you know about ophiology? Well, if you know that it's a study of snakes, you're either a crossword puzzle addict or one of the select tiny group which includes a young man who's heir to $100 million, one Charlie Pike. Right now, in the luxurious salon of the steamship Southern Cross, a liner bound from South America to New York, every feminine glance is cast coyly, boldly, languorously, and even wantonly in one direction. But Charlie Pike, the center of it all, sits there absorbed in a thick book entitled Are Snakes Necessary? At a nearby table, Colonel Harry Harrington and his beautiful daughter, Jean, are also appraising Charlie, but with a look as cool and as calculating as that of a couple of safe crackers passing a bank.
I hope he thinks he's a wizard at cards.
And to make things perfect, I hope he's got a big fat wife so I don't have to dance with him. I don't know why it is, Harry, but a sucker always steps on your feet.
Don't be vulgar, Jean. Let us be crooked if we must, but never common. He's getting up from the table. He's coming this way.
Don't worry, Harry. Watch me go to work.
What are you going to drop? Your modesty?
I dropped that years ago. Mine is the director post. I'm going to drop the sucker himself. Watch me. Why don't you look where you're going?
Why don't I look? Well, you're
See what you did to my shoe. You knocked the heel off.
I did? Well, certainly, I'm very sorry.
Well, you can just take me right to my cabin for another pair of slippers.
Yes, it's the least I can do, isn't it?
Oh, by the way, my name is Pike.
Everybody knows that, and I don't see the reason for all the commotion. Incidentally, this is my father, Colonel Harrington.
How do you do?
My name's Jean. Come on. I'll see you later, Daddy dear.
Now, don't be long, children.
What's the matter?
That perfume.
Don't you like it?
I like it. I'm cockeyed on it. You see, Jean, I've been, well, up the Amazon hunting snakes, and you kind of forget how a girl... I mean, there's something about that perfume of yours that...
Oh, you'll get used to it. You mind putting your arms around me? The ship is tossing.
Oh, I never thought perfume could do that to a person. Jean.
Look, maybe I'd better hold you. Oh, here's my cabin.
Oh, it is?
The shoes are right in the closet, child. And because you were so polite, you can pick them out yourself. More than that, you can put them on me, if you like.
Holy Moses, you've got enough shoes to... Oh, these little slippers, these little silver ones look pretty.
Well, if those are the ones you like.
It doesn't seem possible anyone could wear slippers this small.
A very pretty suit. Well, aren't you going to put them on?
Yes.
Don't you feel well?
I feel fine.
What were you doing up the Amazon? I thought you were in the ale business.
I hate ale. I don't like pale ale, brown ale, porter, or stout. The very thought of it makes me gulp. Oh, when I was in school, everybody called me Hopsy. You know, hops and ale. Hopsy Pike.
Hopsy. I like that.
Take it, Charlie, will you?
All right. But there's something cute about Hopsy. And then when you get older, I could call you Popsy. Hopsy Popsy.
That's all I need.
Don't you think you can let go of my foot now?
Your foot. Such a lovely foot. Oh, yes, a lovely foot.
Why, Hopsy, you ought to be kept in a cage.
Oh, Jean, I didn't mean...
I think we'd better join Father in the card room. I'm sure he's waiting for us very impatiently.
Wouldn't mind my asking you to come out here.
Well, it wouldn't be very polite if I said I did, would it?
No, I don't suppose it would.
And it wouldn't be true, either.
You've got the darndest way of bumping a fella down and then bouncing him up again.
And then bumping him down again.
I was just going to say, I can imagine life with you would be a series of ups and downs, lights and shadows, irritation sometimes, but so much happiness.
Why, Hopsy, are you proposing to me so soon?
Oh, no, of course I'm not.
Then you ought to be more careful. People have been sued for much less.
You certainly are a funny girl for anybody to meet after he's been up the Amazon for a year.
It's a good thing you weren't up there 2 years.
You're very beautiful.
Are you sure it isn't the perfume?
Jean, please.
Tell me something, Hopsy. Why didn't you ever marry? You are old enough, you know.
Well, I guess I never met her, that's all. Why didn't you ever marry?
Same reason, I suppose. Never met him. When I marry, there's going to be somebody I've never seen before. He'll sort of take me by surprise.
Like a burglar?
The night will be heavy with perfume. All of a sudden, I'll hear a step behind me. And somebody whispering in my ear.
Jean.
Oh, Hopsy.
Pike, your old man has been paying me to watch over you, and I am watching.
But, Murgatroyd, how could that girl and her father be professional gamblers? Think of all the money I won last night.
It is pitiful how a grown man could be so naive. Look, boys, get a load of these pictures. And the words that accompany the same.
Here, let me see. Handsome Harry Harrington and daughter Jean. Professional card shops. Bunko. Oil wells, mines, and...
Oh, there you are, Hopsy.
Yes.
Oh, you look like the last grave over near the willow.
That's the way I feel. That'll be all, Murgatroyd.
Okay, boss. Anything you say.
Better take a look in this envelope, Miss Harrington.
What?
Go on, open it.
Rather like us of me, isn't it? But much better of the colonel.
Then you admit it?
Please don't look so upset, darling. I was going to tell you when we got to New York, but I wanted this trip to be as perfect as possible. Maybe I wanted you to love me a little more, too. You believe me, don't you?
Why didn't you let your father rob me last night?
Why do you think I didn't?
I wouldn't know. You thought you were having a lot of fun with me, didn't you?
I was having a lot of fun with you. More fun than I've ever had with anybody.
You were pretty funny yourself.
When was that?
Trying to play me for a sucker. When they told me who you were even before I met you.
Who's they? Who told
you? Never mind. But I knew about you all along.
You mean you were taking me for a ride? You knew about me all along? That was your idea of a joke. Is that what you were thinking about when you were kissing me? You ought to feel proud of yourself. Well, Mr. Pike, you can take your money, your rail, and your snakes and go to as far up the Amazon as it goes. But get this straight, Hopsy.
Charles is the name.
I'm going to get even with you if it's the last thing I ever do. And don't say I didn't warn you.
Right now, Jean and her father are sitting in the Kirk Cub box at Belmont Park, throwing away their hard-earned cash in a hopeless attempt to outguess the podium.
Hey! Oh, what a dog! He can't even run without his milk wagon.
I beg your pardon. Is this seat taken? Why, handsome Harry. Bless my soul.
Oh, it's you. Well, hello.
And the little lady. Oh, still as pretty as a pack of laces.
Hello, Pearlie. How's it going?
It's Sir Alfred at the moment, my pretty. Sir Alfred McLennan Keith, KCB, at your service.
What's your pitch these days, Sir Alfred?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have a little nest on the edge of a town called Bridgefield in Connecticut. A city full of mugs. I mean, millionaires.
Bridgefield? That's very interesting.
How do you bait your trap, Pearlie?
Sir Alfred. Well, I have my horses, I have my dogs, I have my little house, I have my antique. We play a little game here and a little game there, and then we play somewhere else. My dear boy, it's a dream.
Tell me something, Sir Alfred. Do you know the Pike?
No, I practically swill their ale.
Now, Jeannie.
Do you know Charles Pike?
Oh, is that the backward boy who's always toying with toads and snakes and things? I think I've seen him slinking about.
He isn't backward, he's a scientist.
Oh, so that's what's wrong with him. I knew he was peculiar.
Sir Alfred, could I visit you sometime?
Could you visit me?
As your niece.
As my niece.
Now, why don't you stop talking nonsense,
I want to see that guy. I've got some unfinished business with him.
Oh, but, my dear, to be my niece, you'd have to be English.
I've seen English before, and I should be as English as necessary on this occasion, Uncle Alfred. And when I get through with that snake lover on his home ground, you two vultures can have what's left of him.
Mr. and Mrs. Horace Pike request the pleasure of your company June 23rd at dinner to meet the niece of Sir Alfred McLaren Keith, the Lady Eve Sidwick, RSVP.
McLennan Keith, KCB, the Right Honorable the Lady Eve Sidwick.
Pearlie, I'm scared.
Nonsense, my dear. Well, here comes Horace Pike, Charlie's old man. Get a load of him and breathe easy.
Well, how are you, Glennie?
Glad to see you, you old lime juicer, you. This is your niece you've been telling me about, eh?
Eve, darling, your host this evening, Horace Pike.
Charmed, Mr. Pike.
Lay off that, Mr. Stone. Just call me Horace.
Horace, how's the thing? What? Oh, but of course you must call me Eve.
Evie? Ha, 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 great.
Well, I'll toddle off and have me a scotch and soda, if you don't mind.
How long have you been here, Evie? I mean in America.
3 days, to be exact.
3 days? I didn't know ships were running.
Oh, that young man who just walked into the room, who's he?
Oh, that's my son.
I think I'd like to meet him.
I don't know why, but you asked for it. Oh, Charlie.
Yes, Dan?
Charlie, I want you to meet the Lady Eve Sidwich.
How'd she do? What's the matter, Horace? Isn't your son feeling well?
Some days he's brighter than others.
What I mean to say is, haven't we met before?
But of course. Your father just introduced us.
It's not the same voice. It's the face.
Oh, you mean we might have met before. Could it have been in Biarritz?
No, but it could have been aboard the SS Southern Cross on the way up from South America.
I'm afraid it couldn't have been. You see, I've never been to South America.
Never been to
What's
South America?
What's the matter with you, Charlie? Didn't hear what she said?
But she must have been. She looks so much like...
You know, out of door, hearing about the Southern Cross and the girl you apparently met. Why don't you tell me about her, Charles? Shall we go into the garden?
Well, yes, I'd like that. I'd like that very much.
Well, I'll be jiggered. Maybe I should have studied Smith.
Now, what did you say this girl's name was? The one on the boat?
Jean.
You were in love with her?
I'm not too sure. I can't tell whether it was her or the perfume.
Say, have you caught cold?
I don't know. It's just that you and, well, somebody else are all mixed up in my mind.
Well, suppose we sit down and talk. This seems to be the beginning of a beautiful friendship, and I've been waiting for a moment like this forever so long.
Well, before we go any further, I may as well tell you, I have a strange hobby. You see,
I know. You're fond of snakes.
And that doesn't make any difference to you?
No. In fact, I like certain snakes better than certain people.
Here, Margaret Freud. Help me with my tie. I'm kind of nervous tonight.
Look, boss, you're not going out with her again. You've been seeing her every night for the last 2 weeks, and I tell you, she's the same dame you met on a boat.
Oh.
It may be different perfume, but it's the same dame, accent or no accent.
No, Murgatroyd. Why should she do anything like this?
I don't know. Maybe she wants you to fall for her again.
Do I look that dumb?
You wouldn't be the first one. I knew a guy who married the same dame 3 times. And then he turned around and married his aunt.
No, don't you see? If she wanted to pretend to be someone else, she would have altered her appearance. But she didn't dye her hair, and she didn't pretend she'd never seen me before. So I'm on my way to the garden, Murgatroyd, to propose to the most wonderful girl in the world, the Lady Eve.
Now, I ask you, what can you do with a guy like that?
So long, Murgatroyd. Hello, Eve.
Hello, Charles.
I suppose you know what I wanted to ask you tonight.
If I didn't, I wouldn't be here.
Eve, darling.
When you kiss me like that, I can't refuse you anything.
Eve, we belong together, but you're so beautiful, so fine, I don't deserve you.
Oh, but you do. If anybody ever deserves me, you do. Well, what are we going to do about us, Charles?
What everyone does. We're going to get married. No, we're going to elope.
You took the words right out of my mouth, darling. And I promise you, this is going to be a honeymoon you'll never forget.
Well, dearest, I don't know just what you're supposed to say to your wife at the beginning of a honeymoon, but...
This one is so much more pleasant than the last one.
What? The last one?
Oh, Charles, I'm afraid I didn't tell you.
Tell me what?
About Floppy.
Floppy?
Yes, a friend of the Pater's, almost 70. That is, he was almost 70 when he dropped dead.
You mean he dropped dead on your honeymoon?
Oh, no, silly. Floppy lived for 2 years after that. It was Herman who died on our honeymoon.
Herman? Were there any others?
Oh, that's see, there were Chester and Bertie. Bertie was so young. He was only 15, so cute in his groom's uniform.
You married a groom?
Well, he was really a stable boy, but he looked so cute with his little tight pants and boots with yellow tops. Oh, but I mustn't forget Donald and Philip. They were... Why, Charles, what are you doing? If you pull that emergency cord, you'll stop the train.
How else do you expect me to get off?
Get off? But, darling, this is our honeymoon.
Our honeymoon? Sounds more like a modern version of 1001 Nights. I'm getting off this train right now. The honeymoon is over.
Charles! Oh, Hopsy!
Sitting in her father's hotel room just 2 days after being deserted by her husband, the frustrated and disillusioned Hopson, a Pike's Ale fan. She has just put in a long-distance call to Pat and Pike in Bridgefield, Connecticut.
Hello?
Hello, Horace. Are you there? This is the Lady Eve Stewart.
Eve, for heaven's sake. Hey, I'm glad you called up. Now, look, will you be a sensible girl and take $2 million and get a divorce?
Oh, no, thank you, Horace. I won't take a shilling. I'll pay for the divorce myself.
Are you crazy, Jean?
Please, Harry.
To think my own daughter would desert me when $2 million are at stake.
Oh, Horace.
Evie, believe me, you're being a fool about this. Pride is...
Horace, there's only one thing I want from you. I want to talk to Charles alone, because I have something to tell him, something I've just learned myself. After that, I'll leave for Reno.
But you can't talk to Charles, baby. He's flown the coop.
He's what?
He's off women forever. He's back on snakes again, the jerk.
You mean South America?
Yep, up the river again, or will be soon. He's taking the Southern Cross tomorrow.
What? Then why am I wasting my time talking to you? I've got to see a man about a man.
You.
Hello, Hopsy.
Good evening.
It's really you, Jean.
Hello, Hopsy.
I don't know if I'm dreaming, but I'm not taking any chances. Let's get out of the deck, Jean.
Yes, Hopsy.
My dear fellow.
Oh, Colonel. Colonel, I'm delighted to see you. We must play cards this trip. Lots of cards. Oh, boy, some champagne for the Colonel. Come on, Jean.
I doubt if this is going to be a very profitable trip.
Don't say anything, Hopsy. Just kiss me. Oh, why did you ever let me go? Why did we have to go through all this nonsense? Don't you know you're the only man I ever loved, you big mug?
Will you forgive me?
For what? Oh, you mean on the boat. The question is, will you forgive me?
What for?
Oh, you still don't understand.
I don't want to understand. I don't want to know. Whatever it is, keep it to yourself. All I know is that I adore you. I'll never leave you again. We'll work it out somehow. I'll have the captain marry us first thing in the morning and...
What's the matter?
I forgot something. I am married.
Oh, Hoppy, hold me tight. I'm going to spend all my time making my osteologist happy.
But I've got to get a divorce.
Over my dead body, you will.
But...
I'm going to buy a barrel of a certain kind of perfume and brush up on a few tricks that have never failed. Never since Eve.
There you have it, The Lady Eve, starring Ralph Bellamy, Betty Field, and Guy Khabib as Harold Lloyd as the producer. An excellent job all around. Incidentally, tonight's radio adaptation was selected from the Comedy Theater. I'm very happy to report to you who serve in the armed forces overseas that we are getting a wide response to the announcement of our Globe Theater contest. This, you know, is an opportunity for you to write a radio play. We will produce it on Globe Theater with an all-star cast of your own choosing. For further details, see your special service officer or inquire at this radio station. Or you may write to Contest Editor, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. By the way, if you write to us for more information about the contest, a letter by V-mail will reach us quicker than ordinary mail, and our reply to you will be on its way in much shorter time. Matter of fact, it's a good idea to write V-mail any time. Now, about the next presentation in the Globe Theater. It's a story about a cow that runs in a horse race. Yeah, that's what I said. A cow. Jack Carson and Stuart Irwin are the stars in George Cronin's amusing comedy, Harold Peavy's Fast Cow. Here's a brief scene to give you some idea of the comic things that happen when a black Jersey cow named Mabel gets mixed up in a horse race.
Judges stand over there, Harold. You see it?
Yeah, I see it, but why are all those people laughing? Mabel isn't that funny.
Go on, just walk right up and give them your $5 entrance fee.
I will. I just wish those people would stop laughing.
That's it. What are you doing here on the track?
Oh, are you one of the judges?
I am, and I must insist.
I'm entering my racer, Mabel.
You can't do this. You can't enter a cow.
Oh, yes, I can. You read your own entrance blank and see if it says anything about disqualifying racing cows. Here's my $5.
I say you can't enter that animal. This is no cattle show.
Here. What's the trouble?
And this man trying to enter a cow in the last race.
Why not? Free for all, isn't it?
That's right. And I guess a good-looking cow like that one has as much right to run as some of them nags out on the track that look like they was ready for the boneyard.
Take the vote. I'm against
it. I'm for it. And I'm for it. Two against one. Mabel can run. Get in line, please, now.
Now, men, there won't be no false start. When the gun goes, you just lick into it.
All right, Mabel, don't mind them laughing. We'll show them.
Ready? Get.
Will Harold be all right?
Well, Sadie.
Oh, and don't use that surprise tone of voice. We both knew all the time I liked him better than that old lawyer, Murphy. Come on, Mabel.
Come on, Mabel.
What's the matter with Mabel, Mr. Crumb? She's laughed.
It's okay, Sadie. Mabel just got to get on the rail. She'll do okay now.
Come on, Mabel.
There she comes.
Do you really think she'll win?
I've got $2 $5 bills on her. She better.
Come on, Mabel.
Now she's in third. That's the clay mare. She looks like a professional.
That's Peaches and Cream. That's Mr. Murphy's horse.
Here they come down the track.
Come on.
You want to know who wins the race? Well, at the risk of sounding like an announcer on a soap opera, I guess you'll just have to wait until our next broadcast. But don't miss it. Harold Peavy's Fast Cow. Starring Jack Carson and Stuart Irwin. And of course, I'll be back in the Globe Theater soon. So until then, this is your host, Herbert Marshall, wishing you good luck, and I'll be seeing you.
Theater with Herbert Marshall as host and master of ceremonies. The Globe Theater is presented for servicemen and women of the Allied Armed Forces all over the globe. Listen for our next Globe Theater production soon. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.